Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Morning. Welcome to our Savior worship this Sunday morning, the fourth Sunday of Easter. We're glad you're with us. My name is Brad DeTerry. We are honored to be led by Pastor Hank Flatt this morning and my son Denver on sound tech. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored by an anonymous donor in St. Clair, Michigan, for God's glory and for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gift of new life, of eternal life, is the gift of the risen Christ. It is the promise of Jesus. It was true for Dorcas and Joppa. It was true for those who have come out of the great ordeal in the revelation vision. It is true for us and for all the baptized. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Please stand as we stand as baptized Christians before our God, giving thanks for that gift of life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen. In the waters of holy baptism, we have passed over from death to life with Jesus Christ, and we are a new creation. For this saving mystery and for this water, let us bless God, who was, who is, and who is to come. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for your river of life flowing freely from your throne through the earth, through the city, through every living thing. You rescued Noah and his family from the flood. You opened wide the sea for the Israelites. Now in these waters you flood us with mercy, and our sin is drowned forever. You open the gate of righteousness, and we pass safely through. Jesus Christ, you calm and trouble the waters. You nourish us, and you enclose us in safety. You call us forth and send us out. In lush and barren places, you are ever with us. You have become our salvation. Now, O Lord, breathe upon these waters of life and awaken your church once more. Claim us again as your beloved and holy people. Quench our thirst, cleanse our hearts, wipe away every tear. To you, our beginning and our end, our shepherd and our lamb, be honor, glory, praise, and thanksgiving, now and forever. Amen. And our worship opens with the Good Shepherd. As you need, you may be seated.
Father knows me, I know you. no one can take you away, and no one can take you away, and no one can take you away, and no one can take you away.
Beautiful words of faith and indeed remembrance. No one can take you away from Jesus. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will and work among us all that is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we listen, sing alleluia.
Our first reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Dorcas was a faithful and devoted woman of charity in the community of Joppa. Her kindness and her work with clothing were well known, especially to the widows in town. When she fell ill and died, Peter raised her back to life through the power of prayer. Here begins the reading. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At the time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and their clothing and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Word of God, word of life. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 23 with the antiphon, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is running over. The second reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 7. Christ is the shepherd who leads his faithful to springs of the water of life. Christ is also the Lamb who vanquishes sin and suffering. Here begins the reading. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God, and the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Hallelujah! Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Hallelujah! Glory to you, O Lord. In our gospel from John 10, on this Shepherd Sunday, Jesus responds to questions about his identity with the remarkable claim that he and the Father are one. Those who understand this are his sheep. They hear his voice, follow, and will never be snatched from his hand. And we read, at that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking to the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, and he said, I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. A little boy had been working at the dining room table on something, and he was furiously writing. And he picked up the paper and he brought it into his mother, who was in the kitchen one evening fixing supper. And he handed her the piece of paper, and after his mother dried her hands on an apron, she read it. And this is what it said. For cutting grass, $5. For cleaning up my room for a week, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. Babysitting my kid brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning up and raking the yard, $2. And then there was a big, bold, dark line, and underneath it, it said, total owed for the week, $14.75. Well, his mother stood there looking at him for a moment. The boy could see the memories flashing through her mind, and so she picked up the pen herself, and she turned the paper over, set it down on the table, and she started writing. For the 9 months I carried you while you grew inside of me, no charge. For all the nights that I've sat up with you, doctored and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times and all the tears that you've caused through the years, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread and for the worries that I knew were ahead, no charge. For all of the toys and all of the food and all of the clothes and even wiping your snotty nose, no charge. When the boy finished reading what his mother had written, there were big tears in his eyes. And he got to the last sentence, and it says, "When you add it all up, son, the cost of my love is no charge." And the boy ran to his mother, hugging her, and he said, "Oh, Mom, I love you." And then he grabbed the paper once again, and he went over to the table, and he wrote, "Paid in full." It's kind of like why we're here, isn't it? For we have a mother in God, pardon me, who loves us. And it costs us nothing. There is no charge. And the debt of what we could owe, if anything, has been paid in full. What do you know about sheep and shepherds? Any of you grew up on a sheep farm around here? There are a few in Michigan, I understand. I also understand that sheep are some of the dumbest animals in all the world. They're almost as dumb as human beings. Do you know that a flock of sheep can be eating a field? And they won't move like cattle do when they get down too low and their lips start touching dirt. No, the sheep will just keep chewing right down through the roots until there is nothing left. Sheep will completely destroy a field if you give them the opportunity, because they don't know when to quit. Do you know that if there's a running brook in the field, the sheep won't go near it, no matter how thirsty they might get? The shepherd needs to know where the quiet, cool waters are, because sheep are scared to death of running water. Their muzzles are so low down on their snouts that every time they go near running water, they're afraid to lap the water up for fear that they will drown. A sheep would just as soon die of thirst than to put their muzzle down near running water. Now think about where shepherds and sheep tend to be populous. Oftentimes in hard, dry, rugged areas of the world. In fact, today, articles abound about how some of the most suffering parts of the world right now with heat are the places that shepherds are trying to raise their sheep. Talk about needing to know where the good pasture ground can be. When a shepherd in the springtime leads the flock of sheep from low in the valley where they have been safe and they've had some food to eat up into the highlands again that were covered with snow, they have to know the path. And every once in a while, the path goes up the side of a cliff. And so the rod and the staff are used by the shepherd not as implements of punishment, but as a way to reassure the sheep that their front feet, which the sheep can't see because their head is so far out in front of their body, the shepherd touches the side of their shoulder in the front and touches the side of their hind quarters to let them know that they're still walking on solid ground, and to shepherd does it one at a time. They know well the idiosyncrasies of their sheep. One of the most important things the shepherd carries with them is a satchel that's filled with olive oil, because olive oil is the only thing they got to work with out in the wild. And every night, as they bring the sheep into the area where they're going to be sleeping in some kind of a protected area, the shepherd looks over every one of their sheep, feels the wool for burrs, and works the burrs out with the olive oil, feels down low around their ankles and their hoofs for open sores, and gently rubs the alcohol with healing properties into it. Olive oil is one of the most ancient of remedies for the things that can hurt any one of us as well as the animals around us. When the sheep are brought near a city or a town, they're put into a pen. Now, they're, unlike cattle, they don't have a mark that's burned into their hindquarters. You would ruin the fur or the wool in that area, and shepherds don't do that to their sheep. They want to make sure that they're safe and protected. And so they bring them into these pens, where the sheep don't just stay in one quarter. Like so many of you have stayed in one congregation near to darken the door of another church, God forbid, that you might have a friend over there. But the sheep intermingle. They really don't care when they're intermingling where they are. They just like to intermingle, rub shoulders, so to speak, with other sheep. But at first dawn, as the shepherds awaken, they don't go into the herds of sheep and kind of try to sort them out by what they look like, even though the shepherd knows the idiosyncrasies and the looks of his sheep perfectly. No, that shepherd just goes, makes a noise of some kind, calls out, and the sheep hear his voice. And they follow no other voice. I was probably about 11 years old. My father and I hunted on a farm. I grew up in Maryland, over on the eastern shore of Maryland, on the other side of the Chesapeake Bay. And early in the morning, we would go out into the field. We were going goose hunting or duck hunting. And we would get down in a pit. But in order, when we first got there, usually the field was covered with cattle and pigs that the caretaker had put in the field to eat, which is a normal thing to do. And usually he would go out in his pickup truck and call out the window, and sure enough, those animals would follow him. And I thought this was pretty amazing, and I thought I could mimic his voice. So one afternoon, I went out with him. And he goes out and calls, whoop, whoop. And they just follow. Well, I call, whoop, whoop. And I swore it sounded very much like him. And you know, they only looked at me. And they kind of looked at me with a questioning look like, yeah, so what? It's that way that the shepherd would call his sheep. And you know, you have ears that hear the shepherd. calling. I can remember years and years and years ago, my mother had my sister, brother, and I in Hutzler's. It was a big clothing store in Baltimore City. And my brother was a little ne'er-thee-well, you might say. And he kind of wandered away on his own. And I remember hearing my mother yell, "Mike, get over here!" And ever so gradually, my brother humbly came because he heard his mother's voice. And he knew that his mother had cared and loved him, and she trusted and obeyed, and he trusted and obeyed. We have images of the Good Shepherd all around us. In our family, in our friends, in our loved ones, in those who have gone before us, who have taught us to listen to the shepherd's voice. Maybe it's here on a Sunday morning as you sit looking at your beautiful altar and you hear the gaggle of conversation around you and you go, the voice of Jesus. Or maybe it's in the quietude, sitting in the evening, saying your prayers. And suddenly you have this sense come about you, the presence and the voice of Jesus speaking deep into your heart. Or maybe it has been in the midst of a crisis, as suddenly you found the energy and the fortitude to step forward. And you know that you're following the voice of Jesus speak to you. Or perhaps it's when you open the scriptures and you read and you study and you go, oh, that's what that means. And you've heard the voice of Jesus speak. I know my own, Jesus says, and my own hear me, and they follow me. And as the Father has given them to me, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Once upon a time, there was a child who was ready to be born. And so one day he and God were talking, and he said, how am I going to live on earth being so small and being so helpless? And God says, among the many angels I chose for you, there will be an angel waiting for you and will take care of you. Your angel will sing for you and will smile for you every day, and you will feel your angel's love and be happy. And how am I going to be able to understand when people talk to me if I don't know the language that they talk down there? Well, your angel will tell you the most beautiful and sweet words you will ever hear. And with much patience and care, your angel will teach you how to speak. And what am I going to do when I want to talk to you? Well, your angel will teach you how to place your hands together. And will teach you how to pray. I've heard that on earth there are bad people. Who will protect me? Your angel will defend you, even if it means risking its life. But I will always be sad because I won't see you anymore. Oh, your angel will always talk to you about me and will teach you the way to come back to me, even though I will always be near you. At that moment, there was much peace in heaven, but voices from earth could already be heard, and the child hurriedly asked softly, oh God, I am about to leave now. Please tell me my angel's name. Your angel's name is of no importance. for you will simply call your angel's name, Mommy. On this Shepherd Sunday, may you, the mothers who have indeed loved and sacrificed, who have spoken and called your children by name, or those you love, or those who have been around you, know indeed that you have done the Father's work, and that you have shown the way out of the gate. Amen. We join and listen to the Lord's My Shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. Guides my ways in righteousness, and He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His pure delights, and I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will
Your goodness.
on this Mother's Day, it has been a tradition in my ministry to find special ways to bless those of you who have loved and served in whatever capacity in the ministry into which God has brought you as women, as caregivers, as coaches and encouragers, and within all the titles that you have worn. So I offer you this blessing that was written by two friends of my daughter, which I think are absolutely beautiful words in these times for us. Then I will invite those of you who are mothers or women who see yourself having served or serving to come forward and to hold at your hands with your palms down. And I will anoint each of your hands with the sign of the cross, offering the words, "May God bless these hands which have loved and served." If there are those among you who are unable to come forward, simply when we're wrapping up, catch my eye, and I will make sure that I come to you for the blessing. Receive now this blessing of our God. May you know that God is with you if you are like Tamar, struggling with infertility, thank you, or a miscarriage. May you know that God is with you if you are like Rachel, counting the women among your family and friends who year by year and month by month get pregnant while you wait. May you know that God is with you if you are like Naomi and have known the bitter sting of a child's death. May you know that God is with you if you are like Joseph and Benjamin and your mom has died. May you know that God is with you if your relationship with your mom was marked by trauma, abuse, or abandonment, and she just couldn't parent you the way that you needed. May you know that God is with you if you've been like Moses' mother and put a child up for adoption, trusting another family to love your child into adulthood. May you know that God is with you if you've been like Pharaoh's daughter, called to live to love children who are not yours by birth, and thus the mother who brought that child into your life, even if it is complicated. May you know that God is with you if you, like many, are watching or have watched your mother age and disappear into the long goodbyes of dementia and Alzheimer's. May you know that God is with you if you, like Mary, are pregnant for the first time and waiting breathlessly for the miracle of your first child. May you know that God is with you if your children have turned away from you, painfully closing the door on relationship, leaving you holding your broken heart in your hands, and like Hagar, now you are mothering alone. May you know that God is with you if motherhood is your greatest joy and toughest struggle, all rolled into one. May you know that God is with you if you are watching your child battle substance abuse, a public legal situation, mental illness, or other situations which you can merely watch unfold. May you know that God is with you if you, like so many women before you, do not wish to be a mother, are not married, or in so many other ways do not fit into societal norms. May you know that God is with you if you see yourself reflected in all or none of these stories. This Mother's Day, wherever and whoever you are, we walk with you. You are loved. You are seen. You are worthy. And may you know the deep love without end of our big, wild, beautiful God, who is the very best example of a parent that we know. Amen. At this time, I invite those of you who wish to have your hands anointed, come forward, please. Continue to bless these hands which have loved and served. Thank you.
my thanks to the Dohertys for helping with pull the oil together this morning. I called them halfway here saying, "I forgot my oil." So they pulled it together. Indeed, God blesses us regardless. Let us affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, for the people in need, and all of God's creation. Gentle Shepherd, enable your church to respond to the voice of Jesus. Give us unfailing trust, unafraid to join in Jesus' work of renewing all things. God, in your mercy. Feed your people at the table of creation. Prepare a safe place for those whose environments are dangerous or unhealthy, especially those making difficult journeys. Prosper your creation for the sake of every living thing. God, in your mercy. Warm our hearts of all who celebrate and all who mourn on Mother's Day. Accompany those yearning to be mothers. Help us to heal from broken family relationships and open us to receive your nurturing love from all who serve mothering roles in our lives. God, in your mercy. Seek out those who weep while they await healing or consolation. Especially today we pray for Ray Shinosky, Deb Cook, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Gordon Doty, Sarah Mayer Flatt, Beverly O'Connor, Harper Shoemaker, Pastor Joyce Partica Stibe, Pastor Ken Stibe, and their son Mason, Joel Colthart. Also, we pray for those who serve to protect our nation. Set people in the path who can provide the care they need and wipe away every tear from their eyes. God, in your mercy. Inspire the words of prophets and saints who employ innovative imagery to stretch out understanding. Send Christ to instruct us with motherly care. God, in your mercy. Enfold us in the great multitude of saints from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Wash us in your saving grace every day. Guide us to your waters of life. God, in your mercy.
Who art in heaven,